You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Hello and welcome to another wrap-up episode of Who Would Win Masters. We're going to be taking a look back over last episode, your view, your reviews, your comments, all of that, as Ray Carcillo took on Link versus Sungjin Woo. Ray, you represented Sungjin Woo, that's right. It was interesting. Games versus anime, who knew?
I mean, let's face it, those two worlds share a lot more in common than I think a lot of people might even understand or give credit for. That's why so many games look like anime these days. And quite frankly, yeah, so many anime look like games.
That's fair. I mean, it's probably only a matter of time before a solo leveling game comes out.
It's all, oh, no.
Is it?
It may
is
as
it
well
out?
Already be out.
There you go.
It may as well be.
Cool. Yeah. All right. So are we going to dive straight into the comments? Or reviews,
well,
technically reviews,
comments,
reviews first. What are we on? Yeah.
Before we get to the comments, we got post-match thoughts. Ray Carcillo actually took us up on, do you have any final thoughts for the people? So if you would like to go ahead and hit us with that.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Ray Carcillo. That's right. This was the episode. Everybody's named Ray. I'm going to be Ray from now on just for this wrap-up episode to make things easy. Ray Carcillo said, this is addressed just directly to me. Is that right? Is it Sam? This is real nice.
It may as well be.
All right. I think Link is the hero to overcome any and all situations. A hero of time. Hero of the wild. Hero of twilight. Hero of the sky. Hero of legend. What's Sung the hero of? I still think Link wins, but it's a great fight. Epic final boss battle for sure. Agreed. I mean, it was super hard to make these decisions. Like, you know, these are two virtually limitless characters, right? Could be
it's
gods.
True. What, he says, what's Sung the hero of? I don't know, the planet Earth? I mean, I don't know if that's a great argument, Ray Carcillo. But we did ask him secondarily, does he have any advice for any future debaters out there? Because coming up very, very soon, the next handful of episodes are all going to be against the people, and it's all going to be against people that have never been affiliated with the Who Would Win show in any of its incarnations before. So I thought an important question for Ray, who's now been in the judge chair as well as the host chair, what advice would you give to somebody walking in the door? So Sam, hit us with it.
Yeah, Ray says, be prepared. No fact is too obscure. Be ready to use the entire tool belt. Ray is no pushover.
And that's the truth.
That's fair.
I am here to push
We've
you
seen
over.
That. Yeah.
You know.
And, you know, it's not without merit that, you know, Ray gets the final word. So you got to bring it just a little harder.
That's right. You're going to have more time than I will. But yeah. I'm going to get the last word, which is often very, very important for these battles.
Yeah. Yeah. And if he can come back with everything you just said is stupid because I can do this one little thing, then your whole argument's screwed. Right? Like, it's gone.
It does undercut pretty severely. That's the truth.
Yeah. And I think we kind of saw that with Sung versus Link, where it was like, I stacked
so.
A bunch
I
of these things, and then you just cut it down.
Yeah, and some of these comments are definitely going to kind of get more into detail on that, and that Link does have a ton of tools at his disposal. The thing is, and I think something that really stuck with a lot of these listeners is, often you're talking about a bunch of different versions of Link that you sort of have to, like, tie together to, like, this composite Link character, which we sort of are doing and we're sort of not doing. And you really got to get on board with the idea that all these Links kind of exist on top of each other. But Sung Jin-Woo is the same guy. So he's doing all this crazy stuff, but this is just him building upon his own legend. And I think that one fact gives Sung a very big edge in this battle. Not everybody agrees, though. And we'll get to that, too.
Yeah, that was super cool. All right.
Well, we got some reviews here. As always, we will read 5-star reviews if you give them to us. If you give us a 4-star or less review, I will not read it on air because I do not want it.
If you can figure out how to give us a 6-star review, we'll read it twice. Can you hear all those sirens?
Sam, are the police here to arrest you?
I'm sorry. I may have done some things.
Sounds like the Nintendo police are here to try to take you away for not giving the win to Link last week.
Yeah, it was a lot of plumbing related incidents as well.
Well, that happens. That's not a surprise. Yeah. If you find a Goomba in your toilet later, look, it wasn't me.
I've been planning a lot of things. Anyway,
we have 3 new reviews as always. I will read them. The first one is called Cartoon Duos. From anyone 13367, literally could be anybody, could be me for all I know. But it just says Calvin and Hobbes versus Tom and Jerry. Fun, offbeat battle. Well, anyone, maybe.
I mean,
I don't know, maybe.
I feel like it's kind of an unfair thing. Calvin and Hobbes are actually a team and Tom and Jerry would just fight each other.
Well, that's the thing is sometimes if they have to work together to oppose that dog or something. But the other thing is my understanding is Hobbes is not real. So it's Calvin and a stuffed animal versus 2 Toon Force legends. I think in my brain, Calvin would get rocked in that battle. You know, what's his name? Spiff Spaceman or something. He has his alter ego as like the Buck Rogers type hero. Maybe you could work that in. Maybe there's an argument there for Calvin that I'm just not thinking of. But, I mean, it's been a hot minute since I've read any Calvin and Hobbes. Just keep it real. Okay, read any Calvin and Hobbes that I didn't see on some random Facebook group, right? Because they love that. But it is offbeat, though. That is fun. That is something that would be pretty good. And the argument against Tom and Jerry, I think you already called it, Sam. You got to argue that they would be fighting each other and that they would be hard for them to get over because they're trying to kill each other. And then all Calvin and Hobbes have to do is just get out of the way. You know, not a bad idea right there. Okay. Didn't they just make that into a major motion picture with Zachary Levi? Unless I'm crazy. Because I only just found out about this book last year. My kid brought it home from school in like kindergarten. Have you seen these Labubus? So the Labubus, I'm convinced, are just a combination of the kid and the monster combined into one thing. Look, people came here to hear us talk about Labubus, Sam. That's why people tuned into the wrap-up. All Labubu talk. Look, we're trying to get our numbers up, Sam. My kid bought a Labubu, and she already broke it.
Are those things even move? Do they have, articulation?
There's like a piece. There's a piece on one of the foot. They're like stuffed animals, but they have like little plastic bits on the face. And then,
yeah,
but I told her, don't take it to daycare. What does she do? She takes it anyway. The younger kids played with it when she wasn't there and broke a piece off of it and lost it. And I'm like, she's all mad. And I'm just like, well, this is what I told you.
Yeah.
Why do you keep doing this?
Yep. They don't listen. All right. Brady is his full name. Tom Brady, thumbs down, says, love it. Everything is good, but can we get more Marvel DC crossovers? Yeah, I mean,
well, we're trying for you, Tom Brady. Congratulations on all the success. I'm glad you listened to the show. You know, Tom Brady and I, we have a lot in common. You know, we're both Michigan guys, born of the same era. And we both have 7 NFL Super Bowl championships.
Is that accurate? It's weird. Doesn't seem...
Well, I count Matt.
Okay. Just on the system? Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
My last one is a little while ago, but you know what? I'm still a legend in Madden circles in my own house.
Okay.
The answer is yes. Marvel DC crossovers are one of the most popular things in the world. We just did Spider-Man versus Blue Beetle. You know, we don't necessarily have one on the books. Yeah. Actually, we have some stuff booked, and one of them is a Marvel DC crossovers.
We do. And I feel like that's such the default setting, right? Is like Marvel DC. Like there's just so many heroes in those properties. It's like we're going to do those. It's going to happen. You need to like be patient for 3 episodes. Try to do some interesting
comic book companies. Comic book companies that have been around for like what, like 85 years more?
Right. Yeah.
And they've all ripped each other off repeatedly. So fine.
Yeah. They'll be there.
So that's why you have, you know, Robin Hood and the Green Arrow or whatever. You know, it's Robin Hood is the Green Arrow. And then you have Hawkeye. You know, fine. It's fine. Anyway, we have one more review. I love Torchit. He just absolutely loves refreshing his reviews with new stuff.
Okay.
He loves that about as much as I love winning who would win battles.
Okay.
This review is just called Hello. It says, include at least one of these characters in an episode, please. Some are very strong, while some are kind of strong. Well, thank you for delineating that for me. I love Torchit. So here we go. 5 characters. Okarun. I've never heard of this person.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's an anime thing. Rimuru Tempest.
Okay.
Rimuru Tempest. I feel like I'm that Barack Obama meme where he's just shaking his head and just like putting his hands in the air. I do not know who these people are. That's a hard sell if I've never heard of them before. And they must be anime people because that's not my best spot. The Sentry.
Okay.
The Sentry is someone. Now, that's a very good one. We should be doing the Sentry. Especially with Thunderbolts having come out. Quite realistically, we should be focused on Fantastic Four and Superman characters.
We got to do the trending stuff, sure.
Right. So 4th character is somebody called Tanjiro.
Tanjiro, definitely another ladies anime. And
gentlemen. There's people at home being just like, how the H does this guy not know who Tanjiro is? And I'm sorry.
Okay.
I just don't.
Tanjiro is...
And then finally, Jeff the Land Shark.
Clearly a shark.
I don't know.
Tanjiro,
do you know who Tanjiro is?
Well, he's clearly a demon slayer who dresses like he's in Minecraft. No, I have no idea. I Googled it.
Ooh, if he was, that would be a good pick. Yeah, 5th one is Jeff the Land Shark, which is from Marvel Comics. I've heard of Jeff the Land Shark. That might be fun. But Sam, take us to the player poll, please.
Yeah, I'm actually shocked by the results that we have here. When asked who would win Link versus Sung Jin-Woo, overwhelmingly the audience voted 75% for Sung Jin-Woo. That is Ray.
As expected.
Another win on your belt. I'm honestly
a little bit scared. I was a little bit scared coming into this poll. There's a lot of Nintendo honks and a lot of anti-anime sentiment out there.
Yeah.
So I was a little concerned.
Yeah, it's hard to find a character more beloved than Link, right? So I think
very hard.
I think a lot of people it's shocking that they were able to put that aside and you know, side with me on the vote. That's the way I voted, of course. But of course, it's not up to me. It's up to all of you. So I'm impressed. I think that's, you know, it's a good vote. Validates both of us, so we all win.
Right.
And we should all go get cupcakes.
I thought it would be a little bit closer, but I did. I'll take it. Trust me.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely did. I definitely thought there would be a lot of like, no, Ray, this and this and this don't, because he can do the time thing and whatever, you know, it would be. And we've got a ton of comments to go through, so maybe. But I'm very shocked that this poll was as weighted as it is.
Me too. Cool. And we do have some... We do have some pro-Link sentiment in our comment section.
So sure.
You Link fans out there, don't be stressed. There are people that will have your backs here. But let's get right to that commentary. Why the heck not? Because we're going to open with Lord Snurts, or Snurts, as he's just called. But he's Lord Snurts to me. With a wonderful with a wonderful comment here. Link has a variety of tools and abilities. Unfortunately, these wonderful toys were just that. Against Jinwoo's ridiculous anime powers. Maybe an army of Links from each game could stand a chance. But Ray was a great guest, and it was a well-fought battle, and I'll agree with that.
Yeah, for sure.
I thought Ray Carcilla brought the heat in a way that really made me uncomfortable.
Yeah. And yes, an army of Links, I think, would have a very different outcome, for sure. Even if it was just half a dozen
Links.
If you
had one of each Link against Sung Jinwoo, yeah, that would be...
I think that would be the difference that it needed to, you know, to shift the tides. But yeah, you know, can't argue with Snurts.
I can't. Well, go ahead and read the next one, because I think a certain bit is developing on this comment section now.
Well, much like I just said. Well, Ken Turner says, and I want to pause here, just for dramatic effect, because Ken... Right into my heart, right into my brain. Ken says, yeah, what Snurts said. So there you go.
I think we have a bit developing on Patreon.
I think so. That's fine. We'll keep it.
And that's fine. We'd love to see it. Well, I'm going to read Max the Man 1001. Max, thank you for being part of our Patreon. We appreciate you. And he has something to say here. He says, I believe Jinwoo won this with relative ease when looking at the feats and not forgetting his army. I will say, even though I believe Jinwoo won without a doubt, Ray Carcillo, debated beautifully. Even when I didn't believe he was ahead with his points, he made himself sound ahead with how well he spoke and displayed himself. This was a debate that sounded close, but had a clear winner. I think that's fair.
I think that's very fair. And I think Ray did a great job of, you know, like using all his time, maximizing how many points he got in on his time, and like really not holding back. Like he did put out everything Link could do, I think, well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I agree with it. This is why I think that statement, this was a debate that sounded close but had a clear winner.
Yes.
Is why I felt so nervous going into the final decision. But the voting ended up going the way that it did.
Yeah, for sure.
75-25 is comfortable. That's a comfortable victory in a match that never felt comfortable.
Oh, yes, for sure. Yeah, I mean, we've said it multiple times. I'm shocked it was as weighted toward Sun's side as it was, because it felt very 50-50 up until, like, really the very last few things, you know, like the the last, you know, your last point / counterpoint or wrap up. Yeah, it wasn't really until that.
We won't have
that.
A battle
it was
this
amazing.
Close. Yeah. We won't have a battle this close until we do Labubu versus Manchichi. I think that's obviously coming up soon. Give me all the listens. Labubu. How many times I got to say Labubu before we get picked up by mainstream media? You know the answer to that question, Sam?
I don't. A lot of Labubus. But I do think we have...
All the Labubus.
No. I think Nathan Fair may have actually given us the next closest match, possibly.
Boy, what'd Nathan Fair say?
Nathan says, I challenge Ray to a debate between Spyro and Megatron First Megatron.
Nathan Fair. I know you love Spyro the Dragon. You don't want this heat.
Spyro.
You don't want this heat with Megatron. Look, I may have blown it in the previous incarnation of who would win against King Kong with Megatron, but we all agree that was a bad judgment, right? A Megatron losing to King Kong, one of the all-time maybe worst decisions in who would win show history. Yeah, the argument was like King Kong could throw a tree at him or something. There was no good logic happening on that day. Nathan Fair, if you really want to give it a try, you know the rules. Sam, how would he come on this show?
Yeah, you're going to want to go over to your email there and send us, well, what do we want? Like a 1 minute to 3 minute video test.
1 minute's fine.
Yeah, 1 minute. Yeah. Don't go crazy. We don't want to listen that long. Let's be honest. Send us a 1 minute.
The thing is, we won't listen that long.
That's true. That's fair. and you can email that to whowouldwinshow@gmail.com. Yeah, just demo yourself. Make sure you're on camera. Have a good camera, a good mic. Let us know what characters you're interested in repping. Obviously, you're going to do a teeny tiny dragon. Sure, whatever. No, that's fine.
Yeah, and, I mean, look, yeah. We could put you in the conversation list at least if you go ahead and send us that demo. We don't take people sight unseen unless they've been consistently on the previous iteration of this show.
Yeah.
That's sort of just the rule. Sorry. I'm sorry about that, but at the same time,
it's all right.
You know.
Yeah. You got to have quality control.
We also have Douglas Reigert Johnson here who says Link exclamation point. That's all.
I see. You're just giving yourself the short ones. Cool.
Look, I mean, look, Universal Studios theme park all day for Father's Day here with the family. And my voice and body are shot right now.
I hiked the Sequoias 2 days ago. You ever seen General Sherman up close, the largest living thing on Earth? I did. That is a steep incline, my friend.
Yeah, well, that's the reason I don't go hiking.
Yeah,
that's the reason I don't leave the house if I can help it.
There's a warning as you go down that is like, this is a steep elevation change. There are several benches along the way. You know what?
My God.
Yeah. Not enough benches, I'm going to say.
And you do this for fun, just to be clear.
You know, I mostly to impress my wife. She does it for fun. But yeah, I got to see
impressed?
It. Yeah, I guess. It's a big tree, guys. Super big.
Big tree.
It is a big tree. It's very gigantic.
I'm not doubting the size of the tree, Sam Proof.
I mean, if you want to do an episode of General Sherman versus any other large thing, it can't do anything.
You take
it just
General
stands
Sherman,
there.
The tree, Sam. Yeah, I'll take General Sherman, the Civil War man that marched on Atlanta, who brought torches with him, and I think I'll be doing pretty good in that battle. I'm just saying.
You know, every single one of those sequoia trees, those giant redwoods, has basically some amount of fire damage, and they just continue to live on. They're wow. Yeah, they do really well, apparently. Anyway, let's move on. Forbidden Mob says, man, I love learning about new interesting characters on this show. I'll definitely be checking out Solo Leveling soon. Loved the episode, guys. Right. I went in pulling for Link, but by the end, Sun Jin Woo wins with numbers. His superior time manipulation powers, the attack resistance, and portals is too much. Ray S. wins, but Ray C., you did a stellar job and should be proud. This was so close. Good show, man. Yeah. I mean, he hit it. Right out of the park. That's absolutely accurate. Both Rays did great. And yeah, Sun's an amazing character. Like, I don't know how many times
does,
have to say
he does
it.
A lot.
He does.
I mean, look, it's understood at this point. Forbidden Mob, this is one of my favorite comments. Absolutely love that right there. I love the fact that based on what we talked about on the show that you'd like to go check out Solo Leveling. You know, sometimes we put characters on the show, not just because we think they're going to bring in big numbers. And with an anime character, you never know, even with a big popular current anime like Solo Leveling. But oftentimes there's these characters that I think people should know about. I'd like to believe at a certain point with this show, there's a certain amount of trust that gets built up Yeah. And if I'm talking about a character, I'm putting them in front of you. It's because I'd like you to at least know who they are and maybe take a look at them. And maybe you would appreciate or understand them or even enjoy them on your own.
We're not putting on Ross from Friends. What an episode that might be.
We'd obviously do Joey. More material with the spinoff, obviously.
That's right. That's right. But four episodes.
Joey versus Fraser Crane. I think we got a real battle there.
Well, that is interesting. All right. I mean, wouldn't it be a Zach Morris kind of thing? I don't know.
Actually,
it wouldn't be Zach Morris. It would be Mario. What's his character's name? God, I can't. Mario Lopez. AJ? Is that right? God, it's been too long. I don't know.
I don't know. You're asking me. Mario Lopez on Saved by the Bell.
Oh my God.
He played a character named A.C. Slater. That's who he played.
Yes, A.C. Slater. That is right.
A.C. Slater. I said A.J. It was A.C.
It was close. Yes,
that's
it makes sense
worst
now.
That's mistake in the world. Look, I didn't plan for this. I didn't know I'd be talking about Saved by the Bell
segues.
Today.
They're called segues. We got to hit that 80s demographic.
I'm not great at them.
Or is that 90s? 90s demographic, I guess. All right.
Definitely a 90s demographic for sure. I'm going to do the next one. Matthew Dawson from the Mortalverse. I hope you guys have been listening to those Mortalverse episodes. You know, I was pushing to bring those to the Who Would Win feed, and it seems like people are responding well to it. They're doing some pretty decent numbers. We're currently on, we you know, if you haven't yet, we have the 3-hour fully composed Justice League Mortal that's up on the feed from a few weeks ago. And now we've up to episode 2. This week, we're going to air episode 3 of Nightwing Year 1, which is the Nightwing is like a new and fresh character. I am in there playing Bruce Wayne slash Batman. And it's all about, you know, Nightwing's journey and becoming in his own light as a superhero. And they do a phenomenal job over there at the Mortalverse audio dramas. So I have only nice things to say. Check out episode 3 later. Anyway, Matthew Dawson has this to say. This episode was the closest one yet, but I'm going to have to disagree with Sam and give it to Ray Carcillo. He had great counterpoints that can really make or break any of these arguments. Sam, you have been called out by name.
Wow. That's shocking because, you know, so many other people voted as well. So none of them got called out, just me. Not even you, I think, which is weird, but that's fine. That's, no. You know, I don't take that personally at all, Matthew, and it's okay. Well, I'll be fine. You know, guys, it's just everything's, it's so much pressure.
Guys, he's crying right now. He is literally crying. He's in tears right now.
You know,
you broke him with one comment. That's not good.
But yes, it was super close. It was a very hard decision to make, but I did at the end of it decide that Matthew was wrong. I went back in time, talked to myself, and I was like, before you decide on Link versus Sung, I just want you to see this comment. And I think you understand, you and me understand the Sams, that this is wrong. And we should, you know, go with our gut.
Wait. So,
which is up here now.
Are you telling me that you have like a council of Sams?
Yeah,
like
that's
Rick, Rick and Morty has the council of Ricks?
That's right. Less pickles, but yeah.
This is crazy. I've learned a lot. So here's the deal. If you don't think Sam is correct, he's correct apparently in every multiverse. That could be more powerful than Ray is right. I'll be honest with you. Hashtag.
Nice. It's about time I got a hashtag. All right. Next up, Titan Force Universe says, so is this Link with every weapon from every game? He may have a chance then. No single version of Link can win. And yeah, even some sort of massive composite Link also can't win. FYI. The people have spoken.
I think he makes it close, though. I think he makes it a lot closer against Sung Jinwoo than people give it credit for. Having done the deep dive personally, as I would say.
How many versions of
Link? I think has a better chance than your normal Link. Yeah.
How many versions of Link do you think it takes to tip the scales in this verse off? Is it 3?
Hi. I don't know how I put a number on it. Like, if he had all the weapons all the gear and all the knowledge of every Legend of Zelda game.
Yeah.
And was fully composite. I think he has a chance. I think he has a legitimate chance under those circumstances. I do.
Yeah.
And I would also mention at the end of the episode we just did, I was nervous. So you tell me what's up.
Yeah. I put it out to the people.
We got one more comment. Yeah, throw it out to the people. What version of Link would
win?
How
many Links? Yeah.
How many Bob Evans sausage Links would it take?
And are they maple or just like straight sausage?
Look, if you...
I don't like that phrase.
If you don't do the maple, I don't know what we're talking about right now.
That's fair.
Anyway, got one more. Here's the deal. We have one more review to do, and then I have something that's not in our rundown, Sam. We're going to go to commercial break after this review, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about stuff we've been watching, and a previous contestant is still mad about something. So we're going to get to his statements on that. We'll get to that in a second. But first off, last comment is from Ravens of Ragnarok. It says, maybe I'm missing something with Link, but I feel this wouldn't even be fair. I feel at best it would only last for a moment. Even if Link were to throw things Sung wasn't prepared for at him, could he not just enter his store and quickly find a counter? It might be weaker than his usual gear, but still powerful. There it is.
Damn. I mean, maybe. I was going to say, a lot of these can be completely changed with you roll for initiative, right?
Yeah. I mean, that has a lot to do with it. Now, Sam, I feel like the people are once again kind of echoing what our thoughts are, right? We have a little bit of dissent, but overall, people really liked the battle. They liked the passion. They thought Ray Carcillo brought a lot to the table. But ultimately, I'm just too good. That's what I'm getting out of this. I mean, tell me I'm wrong.
I mean, no. Sure. It's that. It's not the distracting shirts. And it's really just, it's the epic debate skills. That's what, you know, because Michigan, they have a long history of debate, actually. It's a thing.
I'm sure we do. I don't know it. I think it's
you do,
just
actually.
Me.
But
that's a pretty long history
father,
of debate.
My father-in-law is actually part of, what was it, EMU? He was part of their debate
Eastern
team.
Eastern Michigan
one
University,
of the coaches.
Not far from me.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were like national debate winners. Anyway.
How about that? Weird.
So I got that somehow genetically, I guess.
That's it. No, much respect to Eastern. I believe in the beautiful city of Ypsilanti, Michigan, the city of my birth. How about that? How about that? That is correct. So let's go ahead. We're going to take a quick break right now. And then when we come back, we still have some heat that we need to address further. We'll be right back.
All right.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And we are back from our commercial break. Now, we had a contestant come on. I'm going to tell you who it is. Executive VP of Who Would Win, Brent Pope, from the Spider-Man versus Blue Beetle battle. And he was giving me the riot act, saying that we threw him under the bus on the wrap-up episode of his show and that he felt like we were being very unfair to him. And I told him, I said, you write out your thoughts and I will read your thoughts on the next episode of the wrap up.
Oh my God.
And we will have further conversation about this, because I feel like we were not as mean to Brent Pope, but perhaps he was a little too close to it and he took offense by it. I'm not here to ring any bells like that. So I want to make sure we are in the air, in the clear, and we open up about it. So Sam, I'm just going to go ahead and read this here. Let's see here. He says, look, it's fine. You know, it's great when it starts with look, it's fine. But there were so many. Yeah. There were so many shots about me not using all my time, and no mention that it was the first episode that we ever recorded. That's true. We aired the episode as the episode, but it was actually the first episode that we ever recorded. That is true. And I think we did mention it on the wrap-up show, but we didn't mention it on the show itself, because how could we? We thought it was going to be the first one to air, and then it just wasn't.
Yeah.
So anyway, he also wants to point out other things. And you, Sam, and you and the people at home, you be judge, jury, and executioner here, because there were things that did happen that were not obvious on the show. He says, first off, the countdown timer was so loud that I couldn't hear at all, and it was distracting. And that is accurate. Yep. We didn't.
That is true.
It was the first one we ever recorded. And we didn't have all our tech. We still don't have all our tech sorted, just for the record. We're trying. We're learning. We've only done a handful of these so far, and we are learning from the experience. But when we had Brent Pope on, I had that thing cranked so loud that was distracting. And that is 100% true. So he said it was very hard to keep talking during the final countdowns and the 30 seconds remaining and all of that, which I said I would fix, but that didn't help him in the moment. And we have since gotten it better, but that's true. And he says, I also just assumed that you would have a horn go off when I finished, no matter what, because the previous iteration of who would win, there was no timer holding the rounds to certain time frames.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's accurate. That is true. We just let people go. And then eventually we'd sort of just be like, all right, it's been like 7 minutes. We need to stop talking now. No one cares anymore.
Yeah.
Here we go, though.
Is it?
Glad you all could make an example out of me over and over without reminding of the context of us working out the kinks in a pilot episode that you chose to air later. It just made me seem like kind of a dumb butt that doesn't know how clocks work. Brent Pope, I can't speak to your knowledge of how clocks work. Frankly, they're magical to me.
You know, I think there's a fair amount of millennials that don't know how clocks work.
That is correct. It is much like handwriting. It is a lost thing.
Yeah, cursive.
Or what a C drive is. Gone. His last statement, though, I did like the discussion about my mustache. So we at least ended on a positive note.
Is that his whole thing, or he didn't want to use the rest of his time?
That's the whole thing. He had more time, but he chose not to use it. That is offensive, sir. How dare you? Look, I mean, we did bang him for not using all of his time.
It's true.
I should point out now, we've had four debates on this show. Three of the people have not used all their
time. Did not use all their time.
So
yes.
Maybe we should have been a little bit more, what do you say, understanding. Especially given it was the first ever episode, and we were,
you know,
blazing him with overly loud tech sounds.
That's true. But it's not like we've made him and the lack of using his time like an ism. Like, we don't just say, well, maybe we may have once referred to it as like, oh, you just pulled a Brent Pope. But we don't often do that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Not Brent, on camera,
thank you
we don't
for,
do that.
You know, yeah, not on. But no, he did great. You know, I think he was a good sport for being our patsy to try this out for the first episode. And, it, you know, obviously it did have tech issues. And we welcome him back at any time, you know, to prove that he's not a dumb butt.
VP of
Is that his word? His words.
He'll.
Yeah.
Well, his word wasn't exactly dumb butt, but I'm trying to keep the family friendly thing up.
I see.
He used an A word like instead, and I choose not to say it on this show. So, you know, he was a good, I mean, let's say he was a good sport. He was our guinea pig. I don't know if I'd say Patsy.
Definitely.
I would say guinea pig.
Guinea pig is the word I was looking for. It's late. There we go. I'm tired.
Well, I get it. It's Father's Day weekend, and me and you are both fathers who have had enough of the week. And
yes.
It's fair. This episode goes up in a few hours, so what the heck. The point is, Brent Pope, thank you for coming on the show. You are executive VP. We can have you back again. We would love to have you back again, and we promise we won't blast you and not tell people we were blasting you with overload. I did forget to mention that, so that is a fair criticism.
True,
and
it's true.
Again, three different competitors did not use all their time. I believe Kevin Gauthier and Ray Carcillo each didn't use their time fully. So it's not just you. Maybe we harped on it too much in the moment. I don't know. But that's what ended up happening. And the fact that there was still some heat there, I needed to take a moment to address it for Brent Pope's sake and for the people at home's sake. All the Rainiacs need to know I don't run from confrontation. That much is clear. I run towards confrontation, and that's why I get in trouble a lot.
Yeah.
So let's talk for a minute here before we reveal what the next episode is going to be, because we have that ready to go. That's going to air a week from today, and we'll talk about that very last of all. But Sam, I've been watching some movies lately. I'll start us off here, and then we'll talk to you about kind of what you're reading, playing, watching, listening to.
Mm-hmm.
First off, I got into a horror movie kick from another podcast, and I'll say their name. It was A Nightmare on Film Street. I've been enjoying this podcast. I don't listen to it all the time, but I've been picking up an episode here and there, putting it in the queue, and I just listened to their back-to-back episodes about the 1980s slasher films, The Slumber Party Massacre, and The Slumber Party Massacre Part 2. And I don't know if you've watched either of these movies or recently.
I don't think so.
Okay, so the two movies from the 1980s. The first one, I believe, was a Roger Corman movie. So you're going to get everything you expect out of a Roger Corman movie. But it was also like the entire production staff was like, to my understanding, a bunch of very feminist women who were doing a genre film for Roger Corman, but injecting it with sort of those ideas. And it's one of the more fascinating genre trope things. It was a lot like Scream before Scream, but it also wasn't as like blatant and obvious about what it was doing. And it was fascinating. I thought it was a really interesting slasher film. It was definitely of its era. Everything is in there you'd expect to be. A lot of wild, kind of crazy death scenes. And it actually like had something to say about the genre of horror films, and it was very funny too. A lot of like, not jokes, but very indirectly funny things that I enjoyed very much, which leads me to the second one, which is 70. Here's the deal. I didn't like the second one, but the people on this podcast I listened to liked it much better than the first. So I feel like I need to go back and watch it again. It's only 75 minutes and it's on Tubi. So it's not like it's going to be hard to get to, but this one, the killer doesn't even show up to like 55 minutes into the 75 minute runtime, except he's a rockabilly rock and roll singer with a power drill at the end of a guitar that he uses to murder a bunch of people in the last 20 minutes of the movie.
Interesting.
On paper, I should love this. I just felt it took too long to get where it was going.
So weird.
Sam,
okay.
Do you have a favorite slasher movie? Do you like, I know you like horror movies, right? I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here.
Yeah, no, I like it. You know, I'm not like super into horror movies. I think I was a lot more in my teens and stuff. It's been a while since I really have watched a lot, but I really was into like that early genre of like, you know, just one guy doing all the damage and, you know, your Jasons, your Mike Myers, all of that. My favorite slasher movie, I think I'm going to have to go with like Dream Warriors, like Nightmare on Elm Street. I think that might be
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a real good one.
Yeah. Like, I was always a big Freddy head.
I'm not the biggest Nightmare on Elm Street fan, just as a series in general. I think it starts very strong and it ends very strong if you hold it to just kind of the... But the middle gets real loose.
It's a little weird. Like Friday the 13th. There's some weird stuff,
Yeah,
for sure.
When he starts attacking people in, like, 8-bit graphic video games.
Yeah.
You start losing me. You start losing me, baby.
They're like, what else can we do to make money? is what it is. Yeah, I think in the horror realm...
What else
realm,
do kids I'm, like these days?
Yeah. I'm a little more into, like, the zombie stuff than slasher these days. But, back then... It would have been Dream Warriors for sure.
That's fair. So I got one more thing to talk about, but Sam, you take the floor. What have you been watching lately? What do you want to talk about? What can you suggest?
So we actually just subscribed to Disney Plus again. So I'm catching up on some stuff there.
How about that?
Yeah. And my wife has been oddly sick recently. So I was trying to find stuff where I was like, she's probably not going to want to watch this. I'll watch this on my own. So I watched Skeleton Crew, which for anyone who doesn't know, is a Star Wars. It's Star Wars, but it's all kids. It's like Star Wars Goonies, essentially, more or less. I don't know. If you haven't seen it, they stumble upon a spaceship and accidentally activate it and blast off hyperspace into like a pirate region and don't know how the hell to get home. And then they find out that their planet at Atten is, it's an urban legend. It doesn't exist in any star maps. So they go on this sort of, you know, quest and have to find clues that get them back there. And there's a lot of, you know, upheaval and things like that. It's really interesting. I thought it was really well done. And it's, you know, definitely something that you can watch with kids. Which, you know, most Star Wars, I think, are. But this, for sure, you know, it's definitely got that, you know, like Lucas Spielberg vibe, right? With like, you know, it's a bunch of kids
Rock
doing
on.
Stuff. Ironically, my family's watching Goonies without me right now. Those sons of bitches. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was well done.
I never got into Goonies. I didn't like Goonies when I was a kid. It rubbed me the wrong way. I thought those kids were gross. I didn't like those kids at all as a kid myself. And I'll tell you why. Because when I was a kid, I was very much a prude. And maybe I still am. I didn't like when I was like a young kid that there would be a movie with other kids my age that were swearing and being as gross as they were being. And maybe that is a very poor look on myself as a kid. But like, I didn't, it made me, it's like when you pet a cat the wrong way. It gave me the ick. And I did not care for it. And maybe I would like it if I watched it now.
Maybe.
But it probably would still give me the ick. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think for the most part, it holds up. We did actually watch it a few months ago.
Yeah.
I definitely feel less good about the Corey Feldman. Not the character so much as just him and his portrayal. Like his acting in that. I'm like, I feel that's a little off. Like it's not bad. It's just like it feels like he is putting on a little extra acting than some of the other kids, whereas like, you know,
I got
Sean Astin, he nails it. He's great. He has a great monologue, and I think that's what really does it for me, is like there's that monologue where he's at the bottom of the well and is, you know, he's like, this one right here, this was my wish, my dream, and it didn't come true. Actually, is that him or is that Corey Feldman? Well, shit, now I don't know. Sorry, excuse me, folks. But anyway, I didn't watch that recently. It's being watched without me. I did watch Skeleton Crew.
If that turns out to be Corey Feldman, you are getting called out like crazy.
Eat my shoe. It is, actually. I'm almost positive it is now that I said it. Gosh. But the rest of his acting.
You're in trouble, mister.
God, now I'm going to have to send myself back in time somehow and figure this out. The other thing we've been watching, and this I did watch with my wife, is Agatha All Along, which is kind of the WandaVision sequel.
I love that show.
So good. WandaVision was awesome, and it was very, like, so high concept, and, like, every episode kind of threw you off. And this is its own thing, does not feel like it's a spinoff. It just happens to have evolved from that. And it plays into some of the things we saw in WandaVision, But it's just, it's so good. And like the sort of meta game that they play with all thing witches just makes me want to watch it again, because I know there's things I missed. And it's like, there's every possible witch reference could have been made is made. And I know it's in there. And I'm like, oh, it's a masterclass of like witch show, you know?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I like it. It's super fun. It's super thematic. The characters are great. And there are moments that are legitimately scary in it, too, on top of all of that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there is some unnerving stuff that happens in that show. So you're giving me everything that I like into it. You're going to put a bunch of fun witches in there. I'm already on board for that. Putting them on a magical quest in some magical realm. It's great. I am a big fan of that show. And I do suggest people watch it, especially if they're into Marvel stuff. I don't know how it did, you know, ratings wise, but definitely it's worth a check if you missed it the first time.
Yeah.
And that's actually going to lead me to, unless you got more you want to say there.
I was just going to say, and Catherine Hahn, she's a great actress. I love her.
Go on. Absolutely. Yeah. This leads me to the other movie I just watched last night for the first time. Speaking of Marvel movies, Kraven the Hunter.
Okay.
I watched some Kraven the Hunter last night. I watched the whole thing, I should say. And I knew it got bad reviews. But I liked the actors involved. And the first 10 minutes, I'm like, this is pretty good. This is pretty promising. This scene in the prison and him like doing his mission or whatever. This is really fun. This is really well thought out. I like it. And then for the rest of the movie, I saw why it got bad reviews.
Okay.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of contrivance and a lot of plot elements. There's a whole heck of a lot of just go with me, bro. You know, like for some reason, instead of him getting his powers from this family concoction of herbs that's like in his special family that's criminals, and instead it's just some random lady in off the safari path who just has a magic potion, finds his body at verge of death, and gives it to him for reasons I don't fully understand, really. And then he finds her later in life. He never found out who she was, so I don't know how. And he just says, well, I'm a good hunter. And I'm like, all right, I see why people aren't on board with what we're doing here.
Yeah.
And it's just one after another of just plot contrivances. And I love the character of Kraven. They did some things right. Russell Crowe's in it. And you know me, I'm a huge honk for Russell Crowe in all iterations. But my goodness, the movie was like almost Madame Web in how much it was just asking me to go without properly setting it up or giving me a reason to.
All right. Yeah. I never saw it. Probably never will. Is what it is.
I need to see Morbius now.
Yeah. You're glutton for punishment. Time. Is that?
I like pain. What can I say? Yeah. Anyway, that's what we've been watching. And next week, we have a very special battle, a first-time competitor on the show, known on the internet as The Blurred Without Fear. We are going to be doing Storm from the X-Men versus Dante from the Devil May Cry video games. Power versus power, and I, for one, can't wait to bring it to you. And that's going to be it. Sam, can you tell the people at home how to come on the show once again and give them all of our socials?
Yeah, of course. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Make sure to find the Who Would Win show on all the socials. Join us on Patreon at patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. And if you think you have what it takes to be a debater on the Who Would Win Master Show, record a 1-minute demo of yourself on camera with a good mic, send it in to whowouldwinshow@gmail.com. And who knows, maybe you will be in the challenger's share the next time. For Who Would Win Masters, I'm Sam Proof. Stay strong.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.
Do you want to wow party guests with your expansive knowledge of folklore and weird historical tales? Or maybe scare your friends with some good old-fashioned ghost stories? If so, you're in the right place.
Welcome, everybody, to your new favorite spooky podcast, Live, Laugh, Lore. I'm Caroline, and this is my partner in crime and all things creepy, Emily. Together, we're your guides through the world of the weird, the wacky, and the downright terrifying.
Each week, we'll take you on a wild ride through haunted houses, ancient myths, and urban legends that'll make your skin crawl.
Plus, we add our own unhinged commentary to keep you laughing through each spine-tingling tale. So, whether you're a skeptic or a believer, tune in to Live, Laugh, Lore every Thursday for a podcast that's as chilling as it is hilarious.
Because who says you can't giggle at a ghost or chuckle at a chupacabra? So go ahead and subscribe and give us a listen today wherever you get your podcasts. You won't want to miss a single episode.
Grab a drink, get cozy, and let's get spooky. Bye!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.